The University Tower chimes, ringing another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my right, from the Department of English, it's Professor Heather Hill.
Hello.
Hello. I noticed that you were not eating one of the finery for today, and I figured that was a good time to get you to talk.
Well, thank you for the Godiva, Professor Mayo.
Sure, yeah. It was a gift to me, but I simply cannot eat that much chocolate as much as I will try and want to. So I decided to spread the wealth here. Which one did you try, by the way, Heather? There were special flavors?
I couldn't tell exactly what the flavors were, but one of them was shaped like a seashell.
Okay, that makes sense.
I don't know what that means, but...
It's a time of chocolate. Getting ready for Valentine's Day,
mm-hmm.
for those who care about that sort of thing.
Yes.
Any Valentine's plans?
No.
You're supposed to say, I will be teaching and grading that day.
Actually, I'm not teaching at all this semester.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I think actually I remember.
She's doing 8 billion other things.
Right.
That is true.
Right.
8 billion and one.
8 billion and one other things.
Yeah.
Did I overhear you came from a really long meeting to come here?
Yeah.
That's unfortunate.
Two really long meetings.
Oh, geez.
That's even more unfortunate.
That's even worse.
Let's move on to somebody who's having more fun. Uh-huh. Although well, never mind.
You know how to have fun.
We can talk about jury duty some other day.
Oh, yes. I forgot about the jury duty. Maybe we'll save that for the other show.
Yeah, okay.
She got things all organized and moving along.
Professor Dan Maggio is here with us, and he was playing with his miniaturized curling set.
Having more fun trying to figure out how to put it back together.
Tabletop.
You've been around, I'm assuming, since we're in the dead of winter here. You've curled a few times this season.
Yeah, four times a week.
Four times a week. Gosh, and here I am thinking you're like going out every once in a while.
No, but we're about two-thirds of the way through the season already,
oh,
believe it or not.
Gosh.
I know.
Is your team doing well, or?
Well...
Should I not ask?
We're having fun. I think in some leagues we're doing okay.
Okay.
I think I'm above average in all my
nice.
Leagues.
I mean, as long as you're having fun.
We're not leading the pack.
You can put in extra practice sessions now with your...
Yes, I can hone my skills.
right.
With my sweeping
skills.
With
a little brush.
I just love the fact that you opened it up and had these big eyes, and the very first stone that you picked up and threw landed directly in the center. I thought that was cool.
That is cool.
Very cool.
There was actually an ad for Dapsep on television.
Really?
Yesterday.
Really?
Yeah, no, I'm not kidding you. It's for Dapsep, and I'm like...
Dan's like...
Was it a like an internet ad, or was it actually a TV commercial?
Actually a TV commercial.
Wow. I don't know what that is. What is this?
Detroit Area Pre-College Engineering Programs. Dan used to run here. It wasn't associated with UDM. There was no...
I mean, no, we were just one of the supporters and, providers of courses and
but I've
and
never
such.
Seen an ad for it.
I have never seen an ad, and I kind of wondered what I do. Kind of pay attention to how they're doing because it was near and dear to my heart for so many years. So it's good to see that, something good must be happening if they're advertising.
Mm-hmm. It's the reason Kathy used to introduce you as Dan Dan the Dapsep Man.
Mm-hmm. She did, yes,
she right. did. I haven't done that in a long
that's
time.
What Drew said. I'm like, it's the program Dan used to run, and Drew goes, Dan Dan the Dapsep Man? I went, yep, that's what Kathy called him.
Yep. Who knows what nicknames Professor Stephen Manning had when he was not retired?
Nicknames I had?
Yeah, nicknames as a professor. Students have anything for you? Anything special?
I'm not... Probably behind my back, no doubt.
That's all right. It's, we all have interesting
hard
things.
Hard ass or something.
Yeah. Any nicknames when you were growing up? How about that? Brothers have nicknames for you? Come on.
No.
Really?
My family is littered with most of our dead, but weird nicknames. But I never had a weird nickname. We had nicknames of Munga, Aha.
Ah.
Marty.
See?
I mean, a string, almost everyone I can remember at Thanksgiving.
Sure.
Had a weird, and these were aunts and uncles and stuff, and I had very few of these because both of my parents were single kids. But the hangers on, and these were weird names, and we always, Brownie was another one.
Okay.
We never knew where these things came from, but
I love it.
Uh-huh.
It's been a while since we've had a nice set of questions about nicknames, and we'd love to give the listeners some fodder for the future.
But I never had one that I can recall. Okay. Yeah.
How about Professor Beth Oljar from the Department of Philosophy?
Oh, I had a ton. Yeah,
you had a ton of nicknames? Oh, sure.
Do tell.
I've called you EAO before. I've called you that.
Yeah, no, initials are definitely a UDM thing that I never used with people until I got here.
Okay.
And, Bullet was my mom's favorite.
Bullet.
Because I went like I was shot out of a gun, she used to say.
I love it.
Went where?
Anywhere. Where'd you running go? Where'd around you go? With no clothes on in the rain, preferably. Oh. That was my...
Okay.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Boofers.
Boofers.
That was another one.
Boofers.
Yeah. No relation to the Steve McQueen Bullet.
Bullet.
No. Different. Not different. A car.
you didn't have a 67 Mustang.
Right. Okay. Bright green. Yep.
Which was sold at auction recently for, I forget how much, but an unbelievable amount of money. Yeah. Dave would probably know.
He's the epitome of cool.
Not here today. Well, folks, this is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. If you stump the panel, you win a prize. If you don't stump the panel, you can win a prize. Send us the questions in a number of ways. Email us at atp@udmercy.edu. Find us on Facebook and Instagram, or listen on your favorite smart speaker by asking it to play Ask the Professor at University of Detroit Mercy. Okie dokie. Let's see what we got here. Dear profs, as I type this, it's snowing so hard up here in Munising that Dennis and I can barely see out the window, and we're taking bets on whether our plow guy will come in the middle of the night or wait till morning. Life in the UP is just that exciting.
This must be Maryland.
Mm-hmm. In the meantime, we're back to everyone's favorite topic. Here are 10 quick questions about food and drinks from movies and books. They're pretty easy, so 8 out of 10 is passing. Your friends in the Great White North, including, of course, Marilyn Bachorek from Munising, Michigan. And away we go.
How appropriate. Questions about food and drink in movies. Man, she really knows us.
Yes, she does. I love, what was it, your favorite topic? So it's like we already know. In When Harry Met Sally, what is Sally eating during the famous I'll Have What She's Having scene?
A salad.
It is not a salad.
Is it like a pastrami sandwich?
It's a pastrami sandwich is what it
sandwich.
Is.
Yes.
Because it's they're at Katz's.
And the next bonus question was, where are they having lunch? Katz's Deli.
Katz's Deli, the Katessen.
Incredible. Incredible. That's awesome.
That was a pretty hilarious scene.
And who is, you all know who the woman who says, I'll have what she's having after the scene.
Is she the mother of Billy Crystal?
No. Reiner.
Oh,
that's Rob Reiner's mother.
Rob Reiner's mother. Okay. Yeah. Very, very cute.
Okay.
Very cute. In How to Marry a Millionaire, when Tom Brookman takes Shotzi to a diner, what does she ask the cook to do when they order their second round of burgers? Whoa.
I don't think I've ever seen
this. This is super specific.
Cook it well done.
I mean, that's a good guess, but it doesn't have to do with cooking. It's about adding something to the burgers.
The wedding ring?
Nope.
Raw onions?
Nope. That's good. It's a good guess.
An aphrodisiac? I don't know.
I mean, we're...
Oysters, cinnamon, what?
Well, it's a lesser-known additive to a hamburger, but in Detroit, it's very, very often added to hot dog.
Chili?
Chili. The line is, slap a little chili on it, will you, Mac? Is the line from the movie.
Slap a little chili on it, would you, Mac?
I mean, have you ever had chili on a burger? Makes a huge mess. Good. It sounds great, but it makes a huge mess.
It makes a mess on a hot dog, too.
It makes a mess on a coney.
I agree with Professor Oljar.
Trying to eat it with the bun.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, use a fork and knife, maybe.
Now they're putting eggs, fried eggs on hamburgers.
Or a knife and fork.
Oh yeah. Boy, that's, my brother used to love that. Fried egg, bacon, cheese. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yep, that's basically enough to make your heart stop looking at it.
That's a breakfast burger.
Exactly.
A breakfast burger, absolutely. We have a little thing at the Mayo house because I have my oldest son, Joseph, really does love conies. And we'll have hot dogs for dinner. But, you know, he'll drop everything, see that we're making hot dogs, go out to his car, get in his car, drive to the grocery store, get a can of chili, come all the way back, and be like, I'm doing this just for myself. But now he's getting...
Yeah. Anything else that you could pick up for us,
I
Joe?
Know. Right. Exactly. Oh, no. He literally comes back with, instead of a bag, like the sticker paid on the can, because that's all he got, right?
You should take a picture of this.
I should. Awesome. But the last time we did this, he went to Meijer, and he came back with a can of what they call Coney sauce. Not chili, right? Because technically, Coney is not, it's a beanless chili, right? So it's really just a sauce. And so someone said, Joe, you eating that chili? He goes, Coney sauce. Like, this was the family joke. Not actually chili.
So there's a sticker, a paid sticker on the can.
You know, when you have something a gallon of milk or whatever, and he won't even get the bag. It's just
That's awesome.
I walked out.
I'm in and out. Does he use the self-serve lane?
Oh, I know. Seriously.
I paid for this.
You have to be a little careful.
Yes, you just have to be careful. But they don't have any self-check there.
No,
you
they
get
don't.
Checked out. And people are doing it now on purpose because they're getting the service, you know? Considering you go to Meijer these days and it's like 95 self-checks.
The new one, there's no
that's right.
At staff checkout. It's
Woodward, Woodward Corner. Right. Yeah, that's right.
No, there are cashiers at the one on 8 Mile.
Yes.
But not very many.
Right.
No, yeah, there are 23 lanes and there's typically two cashiers.
Yeah.
So the line, there's a large section between the aisles and the cashier. Mm-hmm. That's usually filled and people are waiting in the aisles.
I've had to wait an hour.
Some feet away. It's unbelievable.
Oh my gosh.
Check out groceries. Because they can't, and I've asked them, they told me they were short staffed.
Yeah. Right.
Because, nobody's going to work for what they're, which is awesome. Yeah. It's like labor has power. I'm so happy about that.
And then there's
the cart stuff.
Yeah.
Oftentimes you go in and there are no carts in the store.
Well, that's true.
So
that's true.
We get in the habit now when we go, if you get a cart in the parking lot and take it in yourself.
Well, that's the way to do it.
I make sure to go. I go grocery shopping Tuesdays and I go early in the morning.
Exactly.
Precisely so I won't have to wait for an
hour. That's what you have to do.
Yep.
Yep.
We do a very early worship service on Sundays and I've learned to time it before everybody gets out of their service. If you do it before they all get out on a Sunday morning, you're gold. After, it's very, very busy. Professor's in Stripes. Anybody seen Stripes?
Of course.
When John Winger and Stella are in the kitchen, what does he threaten to do with the kitchen?
The Aunt Jemima treatment.
That's right. What does he threaten to do with a kitchen implement? Spank her with a spatula.
A spatula, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Give me the Aunt Jemima treatment.
That's right. Okay, and Something's Gotta Give, I've actually never seen this one. Erica tells Harry that when she finishes her play, she's going to Paris to have dinner at Le Grand Colbert because they serve something specific. What is it?
Snails.
Crepes.
Duck
all around. Not snails, not crepes. Getting closer with the duck, but not...
Chicken?
It's chicken. It says the best roast chicken in the world. And Marilyn says, by the way, when we went to Paris and had dinner at that restaurant, my friend had the roast chicken, and it was the best roast chicken they'd ever had. So
I believe it.
Yep.
Stephen made an excellent roast chicken the other night.
Oh
my gosh.
Could be
good.
In competition.
But there is a special name for the chicken that I'm thinking, and I'm thinking that's it. And I can't.
Cordon bleu?
No.
Chicken.
I'm looking at Beth.
She makes a chicken with lots of garlic, right?
Oh, yeah.
Chicken
delicious.
With 40 cloves of garlic.
Chicken with 1,000 cloves of garlic.
Who did the recipe, the one that we did?
I.
Judy Miller.
Judy Tenuto?
No. She died.
Yes,
I have the cookbook, and I have her obituary in
Judy
the back.
Somebody,
some famous restaurant in California.
So did Judy Tenuto.
San Francisco, yeah.
Okay.
I think she passed away.
Judy Tenuto did? I don't think so.
Anyway.
Roast chicken.
You know who did, though? Burt Bacharach. He passed away.
I saw that. Yeah.
Which made me very sad.
It's kind of sad.
Great songwriter.
Very good songwriter. Not the best singer in the world.
No.
He was 94.
Yeah, he was out there.
With David Crosby, too.
Yep. That was sad. In Sleepless in Seattle, there's a movie I've seen. What joke does Walter make when ordering some champagne? Probably, I feel for our generations, this joke could be made quite often.
Could you repeat that? I was researching Judy Tenuto, who did, by the way, pass away.
Burt
Bacharach? I wanted to correct in case. I didn't want to.
Burt Bacharach?
Yeah, she just passed away last year.
So did Melinda What's her last name?
Melinda Dillon, the woman who played the mom in Christmas Story.
Yeah.
Terrible.
We're all over the place today, viewers.
Shirley.
Yep.
Of Laverne and Shirley died.
See what I started? Sorry.
Dan, in Sleepless in Seattle, what joke does Walter make when ordering champagne?
Does he call it fine champagne?
He makes fun of the order. Yeah, so you're on the right track.
I only saw that movie once.
Does
when
he
it
ask,
came
if,
out.
Ask for a screw top? I mean, I don't know.
No, he's trying to order some Dom Perignon, but doesn't say it right.
Yeah.
Dom Perignon?
That's just about as close a response as we've gotten. He orders some Dom DeLuise.
There you go.
I just feel like that's a giveaway joke for a lot of people in our generation.
No wonder she leaves him.
You know? In which feature film do the main characters share their first kiss at Tony's restaurant while Tony himself plays the accordion and sings?
Lady in the Tramp.
It's Lady in the
Tramp. Lady in the Tramp.
That's exactly right. A Bella Notte is the name of the song.
So cute.
Beautiful
watching
night.
Them eat the one piece of spaghetti.
Aw, so cute. In Cool Hand Luke, what does Luke eat
eggs.
To win a bet?
50 hard-boiled eggs.
50 hard-boiled eggs, yeah. Beth and Heather knew that one right off the top of their heads.
You think that would be difficult to do?
He's pretty bloated.
I like hard-boiled eggs.
Yeah, they're good.
I could barely eat two.
Now, raw would be a different, I think, challenge.
Then you'd be rocky on steroids, right?
Yeah, exactly.
We just saw the eating of raw eggs last night in All Quiet in the Western Front.
The newest.
The new one.
Oh, it's the new version of...
It's on Netflix now.
Is it good?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's long and it's grisly it's about war.
We watched The Banshees of Inisherin.
I heard that was really good.
That was
not good. Scary.
The performances are great. I mean, Colin Farrell and Brendan Gleeson are amazing in it, but it's kind of a depressing movie. I think it's kind of a metaphor for the Irish Civil War, for one thing, but the relationship between them is kind of
Well, All Quiet on the Western Front
depressing.
Isn't very depressing at all. No, not at all.
Uplifting.
There's a reason the Nazis banned that novel.
Yeah, I would guess. In The Thin Man, when Nora finds Nick at a bar, she sees he started drinking without her. What does she ask for the waiter to do?
Line up like five martinis.
Catch up.
Right up in front of her.
So she can catch up with him, who is on his sixth. Like, jeez.
Is it martinis?
Six martinis?
They drink like fish.
Oh, my gosh. In Rex Stout's novella, The Christmas Party, what does Wolf do that astounds Archie?
He dresses up as Santa.
That's exactly right. Professor Oljar, Marilyn writes, may even remember that Wolf wears white gloves.
Yes.
So Archie won't recognize
his hands. Yep.
That is incredible. Wow. Oh, my gosh. So we had a big conversation at the Mayo House this week, and I know that this is going to take us off track, but I don't care. Based on certain things that certain human beings wore to the State of the Union. And Leslie still remembers, my wife, how one of our local reps, Haley Stevens, was dressed in basically a full ball gown the last time and had on
pink gloves.
The long opera gloves, but they were two different gloves and they were both right hands or something like that. And it's just like, I can't take it anymore. Like, do people feel like this is a fashion show or like a place to show off on national TV? Obviously they do. And she's like, at least she dressed down a little bit this time. And then the camera goes to Kristen Cinema in the giant yellow dress. And it was very weird.
Could be the only good thing about Kristen Cinema is that she does wear some nice clothes.
She does. I didn't think it was bad, but
no,
she's
bad.
The only person wearing yellow. So
it was bad. You
know, and then there was Marjorie Taylor Greene dressed up like Tanya Harding.
Yeah, exactly.
We kept waiting for Kristen to take off.
Yeah.
Because she had it was kind of
sort of like
flapping
the
and kind of rising up in the chamber.
Chris Hayes said that Marjorie Taylor Greene was in her Cruella de Vil costume.
Yes, I heard that too.
Cruella de Vil. Oh my gosh. Profs, this is the last question. And by my estimation, Marilyn had said pretty easy, so 8 out of 10 is passing, and we'll make it. We might get 9 out of 10 here. In The Odd Couple, what food does Oscar throw at the wall?
Spaghetti.
Right. So you're half correct.
Sorry.
And a meatball.
No. no, Heather's got the right idea, but it actually wasn't a plate of spaghetti. It was called spaghetti. Felix corrects Oscar, which enrages him all the more because it was actually
vermicelli.
Close.
It was mozzarella.
It was linguine. Yes. Throw the spaghetti at the
wall. A
little
thicker.
It's actually linguine. So yes, there you go. Very awesome set of questions. Thank you much, Marilyn and Dennis, you know,
those
who I know
awesome.
is listening and working on these. So we had a suggestion from Professor Manning about what to do for our imponderable today, and I love the idea. Why don't you take over with your ask here, Stephen?
I thought a relevant, timely imponderable today would be, what are you planning to cook and or eat on Super Bowl Sunday?
Yes. Even if you're not watching the game, it's a great day to eat food.
I was telling Matt, the New York Times had a thing. They got all their, like, six food people, restaurant reviewers and recipe people, etc. They asked them that question, and interestingly, five of the six said, well, I don't plan to watch the game. I don't like football, but I am into the eating. So here's what I'm going to eat.
So I actually have a pretty good response to your question this year. So an old high school buddy of mine, I'll give him a shout out, Ryan Turpin, lives in the Berkeley area. And he is obsessed over the last few years with smoking meats.
Ah.
So he's even gotten one of those big trailer size like smokers.
Wow.
Well, it's not just a hobby that's stereotypically male and all that sort of stuff. He starts a Facebook group, finds all the people in the city, just a little old Berkeley, maybe some Huntington Woods, who also smoke. And he, within about six months, smokes meat. Thank you. He gets everybody together, and just about every 4 to 5 months throughout the year, they smoke an ungodly amount of who knows what. So I think he said he will be doing,
meat.
And this is where it ends, thank you, 150 pork shoulders for Super Bowl Sunday.
Wow.
And what they do is they turn it into a fundraising event, and he's going to sell a pound for $15, and then they do, what should we donate it to, guys? And they make thousands of dollars selling this stuff.
Cool.
And then they make a big donation. It's like the nicest thing. So this is wild. He's out there in the American Legion parking lot in Berkeley, Super Bowl Sunday. He goes, you stop by at 5:15, Matt, and I'll have your 3 pounds of pulled pork, you know, ready to go.
Off
of the smoker.
Awesome.
I can't wait. I really can't wait. Nice. And he's been doing that multiple times. This is very special for me because in the 4 or 5 times he's already done it, I haven't been fast enough to reserve whatever he's making before he sells out, like over Venmo is usually the way he does it. So the last couple times, like it's 10 minutes after he does the post, and he's sold 150 pounds of pork.
Oh my.
Is he on Facebook?
Incredible. Facebook.
That's
great, the Berkeley Barbecue Facebook group for charity fundraising. They help the Berkeley Dads Club with their baseball and softball, and just have a lot of fun because they love to do it, and so you might as well, you know, make a little profit and then donate it. So it's just cute.
That's really awesome.
So I'm kind of excited. And of course, I was smart enough. I said, what's the maximum I can reserve? And he goes, 3 pounds. I'm like, I'm just going to buy it because we're not eating 3 pounds on Super Bowl Sunday, but I'm freezing the rest of that stuff, and we're going to have it ready to go.
Pork and all kinds of things.
No, seriously. Nice. He'll do like racks of ribs and just, you know, beef ribs, and it's just crazy, crazy stuff. Pictures where they're always like oohing and eyeing off of the next biggest smoker that you can buy, even though they're not like actually getting them. It's pretty cute.
That's great.
So anyway, that's my story, and I'm like really, really looking forward.
Looking forward to his pork.
That's a whole story.
Actually, that is the whole story. The best part, my mom is hosting, and she's all like, okay, you guys coming over for lunch because there's the 5 pregame shows and, you know, whatever. And I told her that the pork wasn't available for pickup until 5, and she like swallowed her tongue like, we expect to be eating by like 1 p.m. Like, what's your problem? I'm like, well, this will be that course, you know? Like, we're only a couple minutes away. Oh, I'm going to have food out at 1. I'm like, yeah, just do what you're going to do, you know? So it's just kind of funny.
Mom.
I think kickoff is 6:30, so that is a little dangerously close to, you know.
I just found Ryan's Made in Berkeley pork sales.
Pork sales.
Super Bowl pulled pork sales are full.
See? There you
go. There you go.
You can't go wrong because he's going to do the work for you. And he's got an army of smoked meats and people who like to make smoked meats behind him.
I won't be watching the game, but I expect that I'll be eating leftover beef pot pie, assuming that it goes well on Saturday night. If it doesn't, I'll have to come up with some alternative.
Sure.
For Sunday, possibly pizza.
Yeah.
The Jack's pizza.
Oh my, so good.
We had one. Pizza. We had one of those, actually.
One of the Jack's Mexican ones?
You told us about it.
It was pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, actually, if you put a little taco cheese on it, the one that has the seasonings in it.
No, it was good.
I'm thinking about adding a little chorizo.
Oh, it's not good for me. Yeah.
Well, who cares? I mean, it's frozen pizza.
I care. Well.
Nutrition, not top of the list.
No, I would say that for, in general, Super Bowl Sunday, we're not doing Impossible Burgers or anything that day. Maybe you are. I should just shut up at this point. What is everybody else having? Dan, big Super Bowl party.
So I've been cooking the last couple Sundays, and so I'm not going to cook anything. But you got me thinking, and I'm thinking tacos sound good.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
But I won't be watching any of them.
I like it.
Tacos. Yummy.
Yeah. Yes. Taco. So, and also, I will not be ordering pizza because everybody in the world orders pizza on Super Bowl Sunday. So
that is the truth.
I think we learned that a couple years ago.
You making chili?
It's a bad idea.
Yeah. Or going out to eat on Mother's Day. That's a big no-no. Yeah,
oh, absolutely.
Busiest day of the year for restaurants, right?
Yeah. Are you making chili?
Yes, I'm doing chili. And
We're doing chili.
We're doing chili. I had a recipe from a guy in Fort Worth. And this is Texas chili has no beans in it.
Oh, it's not chili then.
He said something like, if you have that, you're basically serving bean soup with meat in it. So this is a guy who has a restaurant and a chili thing in from Fort Worth, Texas. So I got, but you mentioned the smoking thing, which is interesting because I got the, I went to Nino's. On Telegraph in Bloomfield or something, just because my piano lesson is up there on 24.
Okay.
So I sometimes stop there on the way back. The Trader Joe's there because it's convenient, so I'm in there. And I'm talking to this guy, and I ended up, the recipe said you can use this, you can use that, but the real thing you want to use is brisket as the meat.
I'll buy that.
So I talked to this guy about it, and he goes off and he says, have you ever smoked this? I said, I smoked meat before, but I don't think I ever smoked brisket. And he said, I put it on 12 to 14 hours.
Oh, my Lord.
At low, of course, because it's a very fibrous thing, and you got to cook it for a long time. So I'll make it tomorrow for Sunday.
Okay.
We'll make it tomorrow.
And you're not putting, I know, because not all of us have a sous chef.
Yeah.
Like most soups and stews, having it sit there overnight makes it better the day you get.
So no beans. It's going to be real Texas chili.
No beans. Texas chili, meat, and tomatoes, and spices, and a couple of different spices.
Are you going to make cornbread? You making cornbread?
I think so, yeah. Well, cornbread, yeah, maybe.
Or are we going to have tortillas?
Well, we're going to have tortillas.
Oh, my gosh. Listen to that.
I don't know.
You can make cheddar chive and bacon scones. That would be delicious.
Now, do you do, like, cheese, sour cream, scallions for your chili?
Yes.
And smoked cheddar, right?
Oh, my gosh.
He recommended, he said, the usual condiments if you want, sour cream and cheese. He said, I recommend smoked cheddar. So I had some.
Of course, you had to get smoked cheddar.
So I got some smoked cheddar.
Professors, on that note, I'm afraid that's all the time we have. The time has come to say goodbye, Beth.
Goodbye.
Stephen.
Goodbye.
Dan.
Goodbye, Beth.
And Heather.
Bye-bye.
And now these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is produced and directed by Michael Jason and Brian Masonville, and our executive producer is Professor Jason Roach. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.